Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line on a Wednesday night. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. Have you until 8 o'clock. I'll tell you what, this is a busy, busy program today. We are going to be joined in about 10 minutes by our good friend Bernie Miklas. We're going to dive in to the Mike Schilt stuff, which I'll talk about a little bit in just a moment. Giovanni Savarese from Apple TV. We'll talk all things City SC with us at 6:35. We're going to be joined coming up next hour, just after the 7 o'clock news, by Howard Richard. We'll talk Mizzou football with him. And then about 7:35, we'll hear from Katie Shields, the head women's soccer coach at St. Louis University. They have a huge matchup that's going to be coming up tomorrow night at Herman Stadium. So that's what we have from a guest perspective. We'll also hear from Jim Montgomery, play back some of what he had to say earlier today. Blues have a late one. The matchup tonight is going to have a puck drop of 8:52. It is officially billed as 8:30, but it's going to have a puck drop of 8:52 tonight. If you've got tickets and you're going and it's 8:35 and you're in your seats and you're going, why in the world haven't they started the game yet? Well, because it's not going to be 8:52 yet. That's going to be your puck drop time tonight, 8:52 over at the Enterprise Center. Nothing like a 9 o'clock start on a school night for some hockey, but you know what? Such is life when you have national TV contracts, and that's what's going to be going on this evening. Again, if you want to chime in, multiple ways to get connected. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air, or you can send in a text at video chat on a video stream. If you're watching us on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, you can leave a comment in the chat, and we will address some of those as we go along with the program tonight. I would encourage everybody out there to go read the Kevin Acey story from the San Diego Union-Tribune, as it's a long story. Have a little bit of time. It's not a quick read. It's not a short read. It takes a little bit of time. But it has, not very often does a newspaper article from another city kind of dictate the sports narrative in St. Louis. But that is indeed the case today, as the Mike Schilt story continues to move forward. If you were with me on, it was Monday. Yeah, it was Monday that it was announced that Schilt had retired. If you were listening to this very show, you heard me say, just wait. There's going to be more details about this that start to leak out, that start to come out. It might take a little bit of time, but this isn't the whole story, and more details about the story will come out at some point in time. Now, to be fair and to be honest and forthright, I didn't think that meant that we were going to start hearing stuff within a day or two. I thought that was going to be one of those things that as the months and maybe even the years went by, all of a sudden little tidbits about Schilt's tenure in San Diego would start to come out. Well, it took about 2 days, not even 2 days, day and a half for a lot of stuff to come out. And this is how it works when the Padres planted the story. Not that it's not true, but this is, to me, I firmly and truly believe that people in the Padres organization wanted written what was in the newspaper in San Diego today. I have zero doubt whatsoever that this was something that was put out there very purposefully. And it wasn't just the newspaper in San Diego. John Heyman, Baseball Insider, New York Post, he wrote something that broke last night that was kind of the first part of this. And then the San Diego story came out there, you know, shortly thereafter. This is how it works. AJ Preller can go do a nice little video conference with the media that's, you know, public information and can have platitudes and say all these nice things and just kind of go from there. But I think the Padres wanted to explain this situation and this story a little bit more. I don't have time to get into it right now, but I think it's important to compare notes on Mike Schilt walking out the door in St. Louis and Mike Schilt walking out the door in San Diego. Because in many ways, John Mozeliak, to his credit, fell on the sword when it came to Schilt. The story today in San Diego makes reference to some of the things that were going down in St. Louis with Schilt and his coaching staff. Same things going on in San Diego and things that he did not deny when being quoted for this story. The Cardinals didn't do this. The Cardinals didn't go to Derek Gould or Katie Wu or John Denton or John Heyman or anybody else and start planting stories. They would not, from a public standpoint, they would not comment beyond philosophical differences. And outside of some reporting by Bernie Miklas, who's going to join us in about 5 minutes, it was information that was largely not talked about on why it ended in St. Louis for Mike Schilt. And that's the Cardinals organization being classy. That's the Cardinals organization holding themselves to a higher standard and letting somebody who was a huge part of the organization and did a really good job managing the club, even if there were some other things going on, allowing him to walk out the door, head held high. Mike Schilt was easily able to get another managerial job post St. Louis because he wasn't dragged through the mud. That's what the Cardinals did for him. And Schilt says he never wants to manage again. I don't know if he can come back from this in the first place. There are some very damning things about the way he treats other people. And again, over and over, this doesn't mean Schilt's a bad guy. This certainly doesn't mean he's not a good manager. He's a heck of a manager. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have great relationships and cares about people and tries to make people better. And even sometimes when he's having these uncomfortable kind of conversations, that it doesn't mean that he's not actually making them better in the moment. But there's a better way to do it, and some of the details that are coming out, we're starting to get a little bit more of that. We'll talk more about that with Bernie Miklas. He joins us in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back in. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We have reached that time of the week, one of my favorite segments that we do every week. We welcome in our good friend Bernie Miklas. Of course, you see him doing all kinds of stuff over at STL Sports Central from a written and video standpoint, and he's all over here at KMOX, whether it's Gas House Gang, sports on a Sunday morning, rush hour sports, and here on Sports Open Line. Bernie, always appreciate you taking some time. How are you?
It's always fun to work with you. I'm good, Matt.
I've been thinking a lot about something that you said a couple days ago when we were doing Rush Hour Sports, because you talked openly about the fact that when Mike Schilt left the Cardinals, he had issues with his coaching staff. And then today there is a story out of San Diego that basically said he had issues with his coaching staff in San Diego. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he had issues in St. Louis as well. And the social media reaction today has been like, well, that's the first time we've heard that. And all I could think to myself was, well, then you guys aren't paying attention to Bernie.
Well, yeah, I don't even know how to talk about that, because at the latest, it was the day after, the morning after Schilt was fired by the Cardinals, and I reported it had to do with the fact that there was incredible dissension on the coaching staff, and a number of coaches felt that, you know, he was being abusive and, you know, disrespectful and just, you know, berating them, embarrassing him all the time, them all the time, and they were just kind of fed up with it. And so, you know, John Mozeliak tried to, kind of smooth it all out and talk to Schilt about, listen, you can't do that. You can't do this. This just isn't how it works. I mean, it's, you know, and Schilt basically had an attitude, and he said, well, I'm going to fire them all or something to that effect. And Mozeliak said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. We're going to talk about this and figure it out. Our emotions are high. It's all good. But Schilt just wouldn't budge. And like, and I've said this, gosh, I can't even count how many times I've said it. It's like, you know, Mike Schilt at that point decided somehow that he was in charge of everything, and it doesn't work like that. Now, people who hate John Mozeliak would tell you, well, you know, everybody should be ahead of John Mozeliak. I don't blame Shildt. No, that's not how it works. Nowhere does that work in Major League Baseball. So, you know, and I was the only one that actually, you know, pulled back the curtain on what was going on. And I wrote about it a lot, talked about it a lot on the radio. And it always kind of confused me that basically people didn't, you know, just completely disregarded it. And it's one of those things when you're a reporter, you're a writer, you know, and through the years broken so many stories, not as much now, because I'm not a direct reporter now, but I was always kind of confused why, you know, the stuff I reported, which was like right on the money, just never got much traction. Was it because I wasn't working for the Post-Dispatch then? It's because like you couldn't hear me regularly on KMOX. And I don't mean that sarcastically, because KMOX has that kind of influence. So it was really, really strange. I was like the guy all these years in the corner, you know, waving my hands. Well, hold on now. Don't be saying no one looked into this. I got a lot of information out there to y'all, but you chose to ignore it. So when all this started coming out, it didn't give me any pleasure, but I have to admit, and I'm sorry to sound this way, but I'm just sort of laughing at all this. You know, people are like shocked. I tell you, really? Okay.
I don't want to make John Mozeliak out to be the patron saint of graciousness or classiness or anything here, but when I compare the two situations in San Diego, you know, 15 minutes had gone by and all of a sudden John Heyman's writing about this, the guy in San Diego. Like, clearly this story was very much planted by the San Diego folks to try to get this out there. And yeah, I, again, I'm not trying to take anything away from what you're reporting at the time, but very different in terms of details and almost like the knives that have come out of San Diego compared to what happened in St. Louis. And, you know, John Mozeliak has taken a lot of grief over the last few years about Mike Shildt being fired. And Mike Shildt's name has been used so often in criticisms of Mo and criticisms of Ollie. And it would have been so easy for the Cardinals to speak a little bit more openly or try to plant more stories with people on what exactly went down. And the Cardinals never did that, where the Padres obviously are. And I think it's worth noting.
I totally agree. You know, when Kevin Acey of the San Diego Union Tribune, who's outstanding, he did so much great reporting, and he reported stuff that happened in St. Louis that I was unaware of. I mean, Kevin Acey, to his eternal credit, advanced the story, but he's doing it from San Diego rather than St. Louis. I figured I had done all that I could to get that story out when it came out as it happened. But I agree with what you said. I did a follow-up video because I wanted to include the Kevin Acey stuff, because it was pretty amazing stuff. And one of the things I said in the video is, I said, you know, I forgot how I phrased it. You know, I don't know. I don't think people have to, like, owe, you know, John Mozeliak an apology, but they should now look back and be adults and be reasonable and realize, you know, John Mozeliak could have, like, crushed Mike Shildt. Clearly, what the stuff with Shildt here was so bad that you had basically a mutiny on the coaching staff and other people who weren't necessarily based in the baseball department, because they were treated so poorly by Shildt. John Mozeliak could have covered his own backside by just, you know, if not doing it that day, but just coming back 2 weeks later and putting all the dirt out there and everything. But he didn't do that. You know why? He was the guy who brought Shildt into the Cardinals organization from day one, and he moved him up the ladder. He made him a major league coach, made minor league manager, major league coach, bench coach, then the manager. They had a really strong bond, and John Mozeliak believed in him. But John Mozeliak, just after seeing all of the craziness going on here behind the scenes, he just knew he had to make a change. You can't have a manager giving ultimatums and acting like he's the boss. But the damage that he could have done to Mike Shildt, in effect, to see that it would be really, really, really difficult for Mike Shildt to ever get another managing job again if John Mozeliak put that dirt out there, even kind of, you know, on background. John Mozeliak didn't do that. He took the high road. And it just amazes. And you know what? And Shildt was very happy to play the martyr role after that. Kind of a woe is me. Oh, I'm heartbroken. I'm devastated. Oh, my gosh, this is one of the – I don't know how I can get over it. I mean, he really played the role of victim, like to an Academy Award level of performance. And the more that I look back on that, you know, the more I'm thinking, you know what, shame on you, man. Just shame on you. And John Mozeliak's popularity, which wasn't exactly booming, really suffered because Mike Schilt was able to spin himself into this role of the martyr who was wronged by John Mozeliak. And I am just so tired of people hating on Mozeliak for stuff he's not guilty of, is what I'm trying to say. You know, we can criticize his baseball mistakes all that you want, but the pettiness and the smallness and the constant hate, it's really embarrassing. It really is absolutely embarrassing.
We say all that, and I think we both agree. Mike Schilt's a very good major league manager. There's no doubt about that. We appreciate what he did with the Cardinals. I think Padres fans appreciate what they did there. I look at him though, and I just look really from the moment he lost the job in St. Louis. And I've heard you talk about this a little bit. Loses that job. We know how much that job and how much the Cardinals organization means to him. He got married. Evidently, he has since been divorced in that time. Goes to the Padres, has all this stuff going on with San Diego. The reporting said that they were going to try to get with him and try to work with him on how he needs to deal with others. There's just been so much strife, seemingly, in both his personal and baseball life over the last few years. I'm hopeful for him that just going home and taking a little bit of pressure off can help him get centered. I don't say that to be facetious. Like, as it from a human standpoint and somebody who plays a large role in the history of the St. Louis Cardinals, I really hope that this is going to be an opportunity for him to find some peace.
Here's what surprised me. That was a traumatic thing he went through in St. Louis because that was his dream job, right? He was a lifelong Cardinal. He revered the birds on the bat, but he got a little full of himself, a little success go to his head. By the way, that happens. That happens. But the thing that I would have expected from Schilt, I would have bet a lot of money on this, that he would reflect and realize he lost his cool. Maybe his head got too big. Maybe he was treating others poorly. Maybe he just needs to reflect on that and recognize, you know, I got to change some things. I get another shot at this. I got to do it differently. I would have bet my house that that's what he would have done. And instead, I just can't believe it. He took the San Diego job and basically did the same dang thing all over again. He learned nothing from all of that pain in St. Louis. And that's really strange to me. And I hope he can find peace because this is really abnormal stuff. Everybody gets fired. Everybody loses a job because they either didn't do their job well or they had these constant tantrums and coworkers were complaining. And so, you know, you just move someone out. Everybody goes through that on some level. That doesn't make Mike Schilt a bad person at all. But I can't believe he didn't have the wherewithal to look hard within himself and make the changes he needed to change. So it wouldn't happen to him again if he got another opportunity. And this time around, he lasted only 2 years. It's just, what a shame.
He is our good friend, Bernie Miklas. Bernie, before we get you out of here, can you share with us a little information about some of our other friends over at Saliga?
You know, the timing's right because today Saliga Heating and Cooling was paid a visit to the Miklas home. I have a thing called a mini split, which is in my home office where I do all my work, including for Campbell X. And a mini split, it's hard to explain what it is exactly. I mean, I would call it like a mini air conditioner. It's not really that exactly. But if you have a hot spot in your home where you can't get a room cooled off. In this room where I am, the sun beats down on the roof like all day long in the summer, and it can get, even our regular Saliga air conditioning is great. This room just has a hard time fighting off the heat sometimes. So they put in this thing called the mini split, and it's been great. But lately I noticed it's been making weird noises, so I called Saliga. They came by today. They fixed it. They fixed it quickly. We've had it for 10, 11 years. It's going to be good to go for another 10, 11 years. While they were here, they did the maintenance on the boiler so they don't have to do it, you know, a couple months from now. And they took care of two or three other things. I mean, it was like a SWAT team. It didn't take any time at all. And I just remember, you know, Saliga Heating and Cooling. I said, you know, I'm so proud that I talk about them on KMOX because here we go again. What a great experience working with them in our home and all they did for me and my wife today. So that's my pitch for today. I mean, I could tell you about all the other things, but I'm just giving you my latest experience with Saliga Heating and Cooling. The same family has owned this business in St. Louis since 1927. And as we learned again today, the highest standards in town for heating and cooling belong to Saliga Heating and Cooling. And go to that site, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com. Thank you.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Just one match remaining for City SC. They are going to be back at it coming up this Saturday as they will take on Real Salt Lake. Then their season is over, but there's going to be a lot going on. Still some jockeying for playoff positioning this weekend across MLS for City. The rumor is that they're going to have a sporting director in place by the end of this month. They've got tons of decisions to make on players. Not a lot of time to do that. To talk about all that and more, we're very happy to welcome onto the program. He is an analyst with Apple TV and MLS Season Pass. He's going to be in studio on Saturday on MLS 360 watching everything unfold on the final day of the regular season. He is Gio Savarese. Gio, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be in your show and to talk about the San Luis team and about 360, which is coming this Saturday, you know, in this decision day that we have coming in this weekend.
What's how much fun is that when you it's the final day of the regular season, not everything is completely settled, and just watching all the games going along and just assessing what's going to happen and seeing things play out? That's a fun day of the year.
It's definitely a fun day in the year because there's so many things still that can happen. Sometimes teams that might not make the playoffs, some that are going to come in. The positioning in the table is very important. You know, every team would like to come in the first four positions in order for them to have a little bit more advantage at home. So there's going to be a lot of interesting games and I think a lot of fun. It's always a day in which brings a lot of emotions to, you know, the fans and the people that watch the games.
What do you make of what's happening with City right now? Because they've had a good finish to the season. Since September, they've only got one loss. That was a 3-0 loss against LAFC. But outside of that, they've won a lot of games. They've scored a good number of goals. They've scored 2-3 goals in most of these contests. It feels like they're playing their best soccer here at the end of the year. What does that mean for this team moving forward?
I think it's positive. I think it's a good sign when you see a team like City being able to get some very good results in the past games, in the last five games, as you mentioned, only one lost. They have complicated a lot of games to many teams that were looking to try to continue to compete in the table. And at home, last few games, City has been very, very strong. Unfortunately for the team, they had a very slow start, and that, you know, complicated a lot of things for the team in what, you know, the expectations were for this season. But now we see a team that, you know, is caring a little bit more, that is pushing more, that has the ideas a little more clear. And I think David Klitsch has been able to manage the team in a good way, especially at this last part of the season.
Do you feel like Critchley's done enough to earn an opportunity to be the full-time coach moving forward?
It's not for me to say. I think there's very competent people inside the organization that are going to make that decision. But for what I have seen in the last, you know, few games, I think definitely, you know, he's one that's been very close to the organization.
So they still are looking for a new sporting director. The rumblings around here is that they're going to have somebody in place by the end of this month. So if it's towards the end of the month, they're not going to have a whole lot of time. They've got a lot of guys that they've got to make some contract decisions on in a short amount of time. How tough is that going to be for a new sporting director to walk in and be forced to make all these decisions again in a very short amount of time?
No, I think you have competent people there like Diego Gianni. I think the ownership has the ideas clear. You know, John Harkaworth as well, being part of the soccer side. I think that is experienced. There's a lot of people that have been in the game for a while, and I'm sure that they're going to find the right direction. And sometimes, you know, you had a great start to 2 years ago, and then, you know, you have this year and last year just a little bit of some difficulties. But I do think that the people that you have internally are capable enough to be able to, you know, bring the right sporting director, the right coach, and, you know, and just lead the team into success. Because it's a great city, it's a great, you know, fan base. I had the fortune with Portland to be able to play two times there, and you can feel the energy of the stadium and the city.
What do you remember most about those times that you came into St. Louis?
Just that it was a fun place to be because of the energy of the stadium, how beautiful the stadium is, the facility, the city, how they back, you know, the organization. I mean, there's so much history in that city. And I think they have done a very good job, you know, to make it very difficult for teams to go there, at least, you know, the times that we went there. And I do think that the future, I'm sure that they're going to try to find the right direction in order to continue to keep, you know, the fans happy and the location to keep on making history as they've done in the past.
Mentioned that you're going to be in studio coming up on Saturday as a lot of stuff plays out. What's the storyline or two or the game or two that you're really interested to see how it plays out this weekend?
I think your game is a very interesting one because Salt Lake needs to win. If they win, they're definitely going to make playoffs. Tying, losing for Salt Lake could definitely complicate the situation with Colorado, San Jose, Dallas being part of the, you know, trying to get into playoff in those last spots of the Western Conference. I think that the top part is pretty much, you know, almost done with Vancouver, San Diego, LAFC being at the top. And in the Eastern Conference, I think Philadelphia, Vancouver, Cincinnati had done very well to position themselves in a good situation. Miami continues to show with Messi that they are a very strong team and they're looking to make records. They are defined already pretty much, but it's still some things can happen with Orlando, Chicago, in the bottom part, you know, to see who's going to be able to, with Columbus, have to be playing that, a playoff game that they have to play. So all of this will be in 360. We're very much looking forward for these games, and I think it's going to be a lot of emotions, you know, into these games.
And of course, even with City not participating in the playoffs, Apple TV and MLS Season Pass is where soccer fans can catch every moment of playoff soccer. Just for people who have not made the plunge yet and maybe want to get involved with MLS Season Pass here for the postseason, it's a great opportunity to watch every single postseason matchup.
Definitely, because especially this decision day is one that we have learned that it gives so many emotions, so many interesting situations, so many games that can change, you know, the future of teams. And so, you know, make sure that whoever can watch it, because I think it would not disappoint for sure.
Gio Severis, part of the team with Apple TV MLS Season Pass. He is going to be in the studio for MLS 360 this weekend, watching all the action of Decision Day unfold. Gio, thanks for taking the time. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the playoffs. And we'll catch up with you again down the line.
It's always a pleasure, and good luck in this coming weekend.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That's Gio Severis joining us on the show. Appreciate him being with us. There's a lot that's still up in the air. Four Western Conference teams are battling for a single postseason spot at this point in time. Also, three Eastern Conference squads can still lock up home field. So, yeah, there's a lot that's going to be going on, and we'll see how everything plays out. I'm just more interested to see what's going to happen here moving forward with City, because there's been some things out there. I think I saw a social media video from Klaus where he basically said, yeah, they haven't talked to me about next year at all yet. We just don't know what's going to happen. And it's really, I know there's competent, capable people in the organization now, but I'm sure they are holding off on most decisions so the new sporting director can come in and start to shape the team that person would like it to be shaped in. But it's going to be a very, very short amount of time for a lot of big decisions. And look, that's life, right? When you're working in professional sports, it's a high-pressure field. And sometimes it's high pressure because of the desire to win important games and moments. Sometimes it's high pressure because you're doing a lot of things in a short amount of time. But being able to get this, and this is going to start the path, or it starts the wrong word. I think the path for next year is already being blazed a little bit with what this team has done since the calendar turned to September, where they've kind of found themselves a little bit. That starts things, but how the roster is going to look next year is largely going to be determined by some of these moves that are made in the very short term. I wanted to get this confirmed because I don't know this for sure. I called our good friend Jen Cease during the break. She couldn't pick up. She has since texted me to apologize for not picking up. I needed to confirm with her, so I'll try to do that in the next few moments. But I saw something on social media that was attributed to her where City is coming back for training after this matchup this weekend. That's what I saw. Before I talk about that, I want to confirm it. But that might also be connected to the new sporting director coming in. And soccer's just weird. Unlike when the baseball season ends, the baseball season is over. When the football season ends, the football season is over. When hockey season ends, the hockey season is over for teams. And there's a little bit of time before you start to ramp up. Soccer is weird because there's such a short off season, and it just feels like the season ends. And the moment the season ends, you're already ramping up for the next season. It's a weird thing for North American sports fans to kind of grasp, that the way they look at it is just because the season ends, just because games are over for this season, doesn't really change anything. The next thing you know is the next game just happens to be in a few months instead of next week or in a few weeks. Anyways, I'll try to confirm that, and we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll still get back to baseball. We'll talk through. We'll still talk a little bit about Mike Schilt. We'll talk some Mizzou football coming up after the 7 o'clock news. We got a lot to do. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. All right, so I did get some clarification on this. I just talked with Jen Cease, who tomorrow night will have the City Spotlight show after this show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So she'll talk all things City SC coming up on tomorrow evening show. The players, and Kyle Sixt, I'll bring you on this a little bit. The City players are being brought back the week next week after they play their final match for training or for practice. So they're going to have to go out. Now, there seems to be a lot of people are speculating why maybe the new sporting director will be in place and there'll be an opportunity for the sporting director to get their eyes on some of these players during training. Maybe the new coach will be in play. Maybe it's just because the season's ending so early that they want to get some extra training. If I was one of those players and the season, a tough season, just wrapped up and I want to go home and I'm being told I got to come back and I got to go through practice and I'm not even preparing for a game, I'd be so upset.
Yeah, it's one of those weird things about soccer.
Like, maybe they just look at it differently than I look at it. Maybe I'm, I don't know, I know you can't do the thing where you compare things in soccer to things in other sports, but could you imagine the Cardinals season ending on a Sunday and Monday they're out taking BP at Busch Stadium?
No.
Could you imagine hockey season ends for the Blues and the next day they're out at Centene going through a practice? Like, that just doesn't happen. Every once in a while it'll happen in college basketball. Like, a coach will make a point, they'll have a bad game, and they'll be brought out like the next day and they'll get just run through the ringer. But that's something that's done for a different reason. This just seems like, yeah, they're just gonna go through training. Just normal training.
Especially when everyone lives like in different parts of the world.
Yes.
Like, it's just so strange. That's the time to go home with your families. I don't know. I'm not a soccer expert.
Maybe I'm a diva. Maybe. This happens every year. They play their second to final match. Then there's an off week. And it's connected to some sort of international window or something. I'd be annoyed about that. Get this thing over with. Why are we taking an off week the week before the end of the season? That would be the equivalent of an NFL team having a bye week in week 16.
Right.
That doesn't happen. No. Why are you doing this? Soccer, why are you doing this? I'm sure there's like soccer people who are listening to me talk right now and are just shaking their head at what they feel as just dumb things that are coming out of my mouth. But if I was them, I would want no business with the off week before the final week. And I definitely, definitely, definitely would not want to have to come back for training after the season comes to an end. That just seems like something that is absolutely terrible. All right, here's what we've got coming up in our second hour of the busy hour. Really, really, really busy hour. Just after the 7 o'clock news, we are going to be joined by our good friend Howard Richards. We'll talk through Mizzou football, what to learn from their loss this past weekend. At about 7:20, we will play for you what we heard from Jim Montgomery earlier today. Blues and Blackhawks tonight, 8:52 puck drop over at the Enterprise Center. And then Katie Shields, the head women's soccer coach at St. Louis University, she is going to join us at about 7:35 as we're going to talk through a huge, huge matchup that the Billikens are going to have tomorrow night at Herman Stadium. That's all coming up during the 7 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We are back at it as we roll into the 7 o'clock hour. Great to have you with us today. Missouri football coming off their first loss of the season this past weekend. In many ways, they played well, but also a game where I think they can walk out of it and say maybe they should have won against Alabama, and now they are getting set to play on the road for the first time this season. It's amazing to say that on October 18th. That's going to be Saturday's date. To talk through all that, one of our favorite people to be able to speak with, he is the analyst on Missouri Radio Broadcast. He is a former Missouri Tiger. He is Howard Richards. You follow him on Twitter at @How_Rich. Howard, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Good evening, Matt. How are you, sir?
I am good. It's always good to be able to pick your brain on a few things. What was your takeaway on the game this past weekend where I think two things can be true? Like I just said, in many ways, Mizzou played well, but also a game that maybe they should have won.
Yeah, I think you saw it the way that I saw it also. The biggest thing when you're playing a team or teams the caliber of the Alabama Crimson Tide, the one thing you can't do is commit mental mistakes. And I think those were the things that really shot Mizzou in the foot. Mental mistakes, the taunting penalty early in the game, the two interceptions, you know, the turnovers always will kill you. And those are the things that Mizzou has to be able to overcome. It's about consistent play, which Missouri has not played its best football all season long. If anyone tells you that, I don't know what team they've been watching. But, you know, halfway through the season, and there are certainly areas that need to improve. And I think that they're capable of doing so. You know, Eli Drinkwitz preaches this every week. You know, we want to be able to play better in the upcoming game that we play the following week, and then the week after that, play better than the last. They've yet to do that. You got to play a complete game. And again, against formidable opponents, it's hard to win when you make those kinds of mistakes. Also, you know, you only go 1 for 10 on third down. Your offense has to be able to stay on the field and extend drives. Give your defense a rest. If the defense is off the field much more than it was, maybe they become more effective. And I thought the way that you do that, you've got to be able to run the football a lot more than Missouri attempted to run. It's their bread and butter. It's their identity. And I think they got away from it.
You allude to it. Ahmad Hardy, 12 carries. That seems like a missed opportunity.
Leading rusher in the nation going into that game. In my opinion, you know, could have still been the leading rusher in the nation if he's gotten more opportunities to run the football. One of the things that as a running team, that's your identity. You're going to face good teams that have good defenses, and from time to time, they're going to stop you. You may not be able to rush for 275 yards, 300 yards every week, but you may not need to. You can't allow a defense to dictate, you know, what your strength is or control your strength. Missouri's strength is running football, controlling time of possession. They were not good in either area on Saturday. And you have to be able to force the issue when you've got a good running game. They're going to stop you from time to time, but you're also going to be able to hit some explosive plays in the run game when you have players that are that good, like Jamal Roberts, like Ahmad Hardy. And I think that's where that's where its strength is on offense. Defensively, I think the defense did about as well as it could, given the caliber of players that Alabama had. But in spite of the mistakes that Missouri made, look, under 2 minutes left in the game, they got a chance to win this game. And I think what it shows is that the talent gap in the SEC, you know, from top to bottom, that gap is closed significantly. And Missouri, I think Alabama will tell you, they gave us all we wanted. And if not for a few things that happened during the game, you know, Missouri could walk away with a victory and be 6-0 right now.
What? You can't control your schedule totally. You can control your non-conference, but there's certain things that you want to accomplish in non-conference, and you're going to play a lot of home games, especially when you have your power conference opponent at home like they did this year with Kansas. But what do you take away from just the fact that it's going to be October 18th on Saturday, and that's going to be their first road game? That doesn't seem to be the most ideal situation.
Well, Eli Drinkwitz would tell you that they've already had a road game, and that was during camp, Mizzou traveled to Lindenwood to scrimmage against the Lindenwood Lions. Now, it's not exactly a road game in the SEC, but it's the closest thing. I think to prepare your teams, he knew that he was going to have 6 straight home games. So he wanted to expose your team early, especially the newcomers that have not traveled with this football team. Give them some exposure so that they will know what to expect prior to this week in Auburn. At least they know where to go, where to be, what time, how it all works, how the taping schedule works, so that you have a sense of where you need to belong in a different environment. Because of having 6 straight home games, everyone gets a little bit complacent, but it's a little bit different on road. So I give an A for effort for Drake to at least exposing his team to try to give them some sense of what a road game situation is like.
Yeah, it's we'll see how it all plays out. But I guess the bottom line, and we'll wrap up with this, is that everything is still there for the taking. One loss is not an end of the world. They go to Auburn this weekend. That's a winnable game against Auburn for sure. They are not world beaters by any stretch of the mind. They have not won a game in the SEC. You can look at every single game and feel like Missouri has a chance here moving forward, and that's a great place for this program to be at.
No doubt about it. But by the same token, if you don't play your best, you could lose those games as well. And I think the talent on his team is just really good, and it should not be allowing the things that you can control. It should not allow those things to have an effect on any of your games in the win-loss column. So if you clean up the mistakes, this team can play with anyone, and it's going to be hard to beat down the road. But again, that's why we play these games, right? Yeah. There are no gimmies. Everyone's tough. Everyone, you know, faces the same sort of adversity. Everyone's got to travel on the road at some point and play in tough environments. Auburn is not the easiest place to play. Missouri went there 2 years ago and lost. Why? Mistakes. You fumble the ball forward through the end zone for a touchback, and then you miss a field goal, a chip shot. You know, those things, you've got to be able to be better in those areas, especially when you're traveling on the road in the SEC.
One more thing for you. I know I said that a moment ago, but you said something that I want to follow up on. You talked about just the talent that's on this team. When you think through the history of Missouri football, is this consistently as much talent as they have had kind of a year in, year out? Once Drink got this thing rolling over the last few years, have they in recent history had this much talent, or is this a high point for the program?
Well, when you won 9 games last year, 10 the season before in the regular season, and you're on course to do at least that this season.
Yeah.
So I think in certain areas, the talent is better than it was the last couple of years. In certain areas, you're down a little bit. But I think they've improved in the quarterback position overall. They've improved at running back. The offensive line is kind of yet to be determined at this point. Although you could say, well, you're leading the league in rushing through 6 games, or at least through 5 games. But we'll make that judgment by the end of the season. Defensively, they're on track. The secondary has to play better. Linebacker depth, I think, is really, really good. So we'll see by the end of the season if the win-loss record reflects the type of talent that I think that they have. I have a feeling it will. I'm confident that this team will be able to bounce back, understanding where they are and just looking back at the video of the game and knowing that the game was, you know, a victory was within its grasp as a team if you got to play better. And this is why, you know, as a coach, you preach every single play counts. Every single play counts. I cannot stress that enough to these guys. So again, it's the mindset. Who do you want to be as an individual player? Collectively as a team, who do you want to be? How far do you want to go? It's really up to you.
He is Howard Richards. You hear him on Missouri Football Radio broadcast. Follow him on Twitter at @How_Rich. Howard, always appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this tonight, and we'll talk to you again down the line.
Anytime, my friend. Take care. Thank you.
Awesome. Very good. That's Howard Richards. Love being able to talk with him and get his insight on all things going on with Mizzou football. I really mean it. And you know, people may have kind of took a double take just now when I said that you look at the schedule and you can see a way that Missouri can win every game the rest of the way. I'm not saying I expect them to win every game the rest of the way. There's going to be some tough games. Anytime you're on the road in the SEC, it's going to be tough. So even against an Auburn team this weekend, that's not a gimme by any stretch of the mind. And you certainly don't want to have a hangover coming off this past week. And this might be a desperate Auburn team, not just because they're winless in SEC play, but Hugh Freeze, man, that seat is warm once again. And if he doesn't collect some wins here before all is said and done, he's going to be looking for a new job for sure. So going to Vanderbilt the week after that, that's not easy. That's not easy at all. Going to the number 17 team in the nation, Vanderbilt is a legit team. Pavia, their quarterback, so he's good. And so you can see scenarios where Mizzou can win both those games. Home against Texas A&M, I think they can beat anybody at home. I don't think there's a team in the nation that they can't beat at home. Not that they will beat at home. That's going to be Texas A&M's really good. Really, really good. I think they're a legit national championship contender for sure. But any home game, I'm going to look at that as an opportunity for win. Mississippi State that next week, they should win that. And then they finish at Oklahoma. That's going to be another really tough one. But we saw Oklahoma this past week. Now, the thing about Oklahoma this past week and their loss against Texas, they ran quarterback John Mateer back way too soon. So Mateer's been injured. He was out for a couple weeks. He was really pushing to get back. He was not fully healthy. He did not look good. Hindsight's 20/20. I know you always want to have your guy out there, but that was Oklahoma made a mistake this past weekend having Mateer out there, and I think it cost them a game against Texas, and then they'll wrap up the season when they take on Arkansas on the road. So that's, again, you can... Not that they are going to win every game. Not that they're going to be favored in every game. They're not going to be. They will not be favored in every game. But I don't think every single week you're going to be able to look at it and you're going to find a way to look at it in a way that you say, this is a winnable game for Mizzou. And this past weekend was winnable as well. And you just hope that at the end of the season, that Alabama loss doesn't come back to bite them. That they don't end up being a team that was just on the outside looking in on the college football playoff, and you feel like if they would have had that win against Alabama, that would have been the difference. You don't want that to happen, but if you can take care of business the rest of the way, you should be in pretty good shape. This weekend's college football schedule, it's okay. LSU, Vanderbilt, and Nashville, I think that's an interesting game. Anytime you start to really trust LSU, they kind of prove to you that maybe you shouldn't trust them. The Ole Miss-Georgia game, that's arguably the biggest game in the nation this weekend. That's going to be in Athens. So that's a... Last week we talked about the yeah, but with Mizzou. I think to a lesser extent we have that with Ole Miss. I really, really like Lane Kiffin, but it feels like they don't win some of the big games. Or sometimes they win the big game when it doesn't matter to win the big game. They've collected enough losses that it's kind of a late season big win. This would be huge for Ole Miss, and that would kind of get rid of a lot of the questions that certainly surround the program. Tennessee-Alabama, that's an interesting game. USC-Notre Dame is an interesting game coming up this weekend. Utah-BYU, there's some interest certainly to that one as well. So that's kind of a rundown of what's going to be taking place this weekend when it comes to the games of note across the country. As far as Illinois goes, they are going to take the weekend off, so they're not going to play this weekend. They'll get back after it coming up in just a while. All right, so we've still got a lot coming up here this hour. Again, the Blues and the Blackhawks are going to match up tonight. That's going to be officially, for those of you who are, I always know when there's a Blues game because I can look out our window and see all the cars that are driving around. For those that are driving around right now, looking for a parking spot, maybe getting a little worried because it's supposed to be an 8:30 puck drop and you want to make sure that you're in the building. Well, it's listed as 8:30. It's going to be 8:52, so you don't have to worry about it. You still got a little bit of time. You still got about 90 minutes until that's going to get started. But we're going to listen into Jim Montgomery a little bit, his pregame comments that he made to the media earlier today. We'll play some of those. And then St. Louis University women's soccer coach Katie Shield, she's going to join us in about 15 minutes. So you don't want to go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We'll hear from Coach Montgomery. That's coming up in just a moment or so as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. The Blues tonight, they've got a late start over at the Enterprise Center, officially an 8:30 puck drop against the Blackhawks. We were talking yesterday with Luke Horak, and he referred to it as like an 8:52 puck drop or something. So it might start a little bit after 8:30 this evening, a national TV game. Blues are looking for their first home win of the season. They began the year with a home game against Minnesota, lost that game 5-0, went on the road, scored 9 goals over 2 games and wins against Calgary and Vancouver. And now this is going to start a period where they are going to play 4 straight games
games at home before the season even got started. Jim Montgomery talked so much about the importance of having success early on in the season because there are so many home games at this point in the year. Speaking of Montgomery, he spent some time talking with the media earlier today, and the Blackhawks are in town, which is always a good, fun environment when these two teams are able to get after it. And for Montgomery, he feels like this is a Chicago team that is going to provide a challenge for his team.
A couple of things. A vastly improved hockey team, play a lot faster, have numbers around the puck all the time in every zone. They're doing a 1-1-3 in a neutral zone, which is always hard to penetrate through. So game management, puck management is going to be important for us.
Montgomery hoping to see even more progress from his squad. I mentioned a few moments ago just the way the season has gone along, where it feels like they've played a better game each time out, going from Minnesota to Calgary to Vancouver. And Montgomery talked a little bit about what is leading to that progress every game and what has to happen for it to continue on.
I think it's just trust in our process and our habits. Those things, along with game management, that's the things we need to continue to build.
Joel Hofer is going to start in goal tonight for the Blues. Montgomery said that it's not going to be a 50-50 split between him and Jordan Binnington. Binnington will still get more starts, assuming everybody's healthy and everything goes according to plan. But he did say that you'll probably see Hofer in goal a little bit more this year than you saw last year. So that split's going to get a little bit closer to 50-50. The fact that it is a schedule this year that's going to be more games in a shorter amount of time, that's certainly part of it. But Montgomery went on to explain a little bit more of why it's good for Binnington, for Hofer, to be able to play a little bit more this season.
If you look at Binner's career, you know, more games he's played, you know, it's just harder on the body. And being in the West, you switch time zones a lot more than you do in East. You look at the goalies that play a lot. Martin Brodeur's career, he was in the East. You know, Tuukka Rask played a lot of games in Boston. He was in the East. You know, the goalie in Tampa, he's in the East.
And then when it comes specifically to Hofer, there's a lot of confidence in him, and they are very comfortable with him being in net.
I think his maturity of understanding the NHL, of just the experience of playing it, understanding the flow of the game, and understanding the importance of his position and how he commands the game. His confidence, he's never had an issue with confidence, you know, and that's why he is such a good goaltender. I don't know any goaltender that I've met, and I've had the good fortune of being around great goalies in my career. I've been around Patrick Roy, I've been around Martin Brodeur because of growing up in Montreal. I've been around Cujo. And then as a coach, you know, I've been around Bishop, and now I've been around Binnington. And in Boston, we had really high-end goaltenders. They want the net, and they believe they're going to make every save.
Last thing from Jim Montgomery. I thought this was interesting. He had previously mentioned Jordan Kyrou and Dylan Holloway, the two wingers on the second line. And those guys, he had mentioned, were pressing a little bit. Well, as he expounded on that today, he talked about just how early on in the season you see that a lot of individuals will be pressing, a lot of teams will be pressing. It's a very common thing early on in the season, but it's also something that can be fixed relatively quickly.
Being early in the year, it doesn't matter if it's a team or if it's an individual. You press, it seems like people press more early in the season. Like if you look at, you know, an example, New York Rangers, haven't scored in three games at home. And you could see it. They had opportunities last night. They played well, but they didn't finish. They're not calm. They're not relaxed. And what it takes one to go in. Happened to our team in game two. We hadn't scored in five periods. It was about to be five periods. And then, you know, we took one puck to an ugly area. And then all of a sudden our team relaxed. We started playing hockey. And that's going to happen for those two individuals. They're too talented. Their second and third effort is what I talk to them about, is that if their effort on the puck and being relentless and tenacious on pucks, same thing I said to Snuggerud before the Vancouver game, you know, just go out and play. You know, we get to play a game for a living. Go out and enjoy it.
That is Blues coach Jim Montgomery speaking with the media earlier today. Blues in action tonight. They welcome in the Chicago Blackhawks. That's going to be an 8:30 puck drop, maybe closer to 8:50, but officially 8:30 puck drop over at the Enterprise Center. And it's going to be a late night at the rink tonight, but that's all right. Hopefully the Blues are able to come away with a victory. We'll take another break, and then when we return, we are going to talk some St. Louis University women's soccer. They've got a big matchup coming up later on this week. Their head coach, Katie Shields, is going to join us after this as you are locked into a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I'll tell you once, this is something you've heard before, but we'll continue to say it. The St. Louis University women's soccer program, they are rolling, as they always tend to do, and they've got a big one coming up tomorrow evening. They are going to play host to Dayton. That's going to be a matchup where first place is on the line. The SLU ladies right now, they have a league record sitting at 6-0 as far as Dayton goes. They're also 6-0, so first place on the line, and with that, we're very happy to welcome on to the program the head coach of the St. Louis University women's soccer program, Coach Katie Shields. Coach, thank you for taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know you guys like to take every game one game at a time and not put too much importance on a single game, but the numbers are what the numbers are, and this obviously is a very important matchup coming up tomorrow night.
It is, you know, and I think every season we seem to be marching towards a game like this. And, you know, I'm excited that this team has put themselves in the position to have an opportunity like tomorrow night's game. Dayton's a really good opponent, has had a really good start as well. And I think it'll be a tremendous college soccer game.
Yeah, I was looking at some of your numbers, and I feel like, you know, we talk every year, and it feels like there's always one or two kids that we really spotlight on. But this year, you've got two players with four goals. You've got four players with three goals. Is this one of those years where it really is, you got a whole bunch of players on the team that are contributing, and anybody can have that big night at any given moment?
Yeah, I think it makes us maybe tricky to prepare for, you know, because you're not sure who exactly it's going to be on a given night. And I think we're getting goals from different players, goals in different ways. So obviously you love to have a pure goal scorer, but that doesn't necessarily, you know, have to be the recipe for success. And I think for us, this is exciting because you do have so many different weapons that you can find different ways to win games. And that's definitely what this team is shaping up to be.
29 total goals this season, 23 have been assisted, and there have been different player combinations on 21 of those 23 goals. I know that goes to just what you were saying, but that's a numerical representation of just how you can do things in so many different kind of ways.
Yeah, and I think it's great because we're getting a lot of contributions from younger players who are just getting better day by day. And then, you know, you're getting some veterans in there as well when you need them. And it's been enjoyable to watch this team continue to grow. And I think, you know, that growth and that versatility will be on display tomorrow night.
How tough is it? Because you knew this matchup was coming tonight or tomorrow night. And you played Duquesne this past weekend on Sunday. You come away with a 2-1 victory. As a coach, is there anything that you need to do to make sure in situations like that with just this huge game looming that you make sure your team doesn't look over a game looking to that next one?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something we just, as a program, pride ourselves on. It's how we always message the team. The team knows that. And hey, Duquesne was sitting in third place right behind us in Dayton. So we knew how good they were, and they proved to be a very stubborn opponent as well. And so, you know, for us, we're always game by game. We also know within the league, just with our history, we're going to get everyone's best shot. And so we never look past anybody. And we just try to kind of, I know it's coach speak, but improve ourselves day to day, game to game. So we're playing our best soccer come November, you know, and tomorrow it is just the next opponent. It's a great opportunity to solidify, you know, first place in the standings, help continue to control our destiny, but it is just the next game. And we, you know, whether the outcome, we'll be ready for the next one come Friday as well.
You always schedule really, really tough in the non-conference. You did that again this year. You had matchups against Penn State, Missouri, Indiana, Iowa. You're always going up against major conference teams. You go on the road, all that. What did you learn about your team in those early season matchups against some of the competition that I know you'll be hoping to see much later in this season?
Yeah, I think for us it helped us really solidify and understand areas that we weren't, as stable in or pieces we needed to really put together. It also just helped us play at the pace and the level that we aspire to be at or try to play at the pace and the level. It also helped some of our young players see what it looks like and experience what it looks like on the road and at home against, top 10, top 25 opponents. And so for us, it's definitely the exposure piece. But this group, it's also trying to gain experience together in some of those moments and learn how to close out games, learn lessons when you can see goals that you're not happy about, and how to, continue to again, get better, but you got to test yourself to really know, where you got to grow. And I think those games really helped us with that.
You talk about the group going through those experiences together. How much fun is it when you watch an entire group kind of lift up all together as the season moves along?
Yeah, it's awesome, and I think there's some people maybe that would have counted us out this year, so it's a rebuilding year. It graduated all these players, and that's just not our expectation as a program. And I think this team in particular took that challenge head on and is taking that challenge head on and has something to prove and at times has a chip on their shoulder. And I love that kind of underdog at times mentality that we've seen, even though, again, this is a team that's currently sitting in first place playing for first place. But I like that spirit that is emerged from this group.
You are going to get Dayton's absolute best effort. Talk to me a little bit about them and what it's going to take for you to come away victorious.
Yeah, they're a really good team. They're a top 50 team. They're veteran, so it's a very different, they have a lot of players that have been in the program, played a lot of heavy minutes together. They're, junior, senior heavy. So they're experienced. They know what it looks like. They know what plane flu looks like for them. They're athletic. They've got some talented pieces. And I think they don't give up a lot of chances, and they have only conceded one goal in the league. So, I think it'll be a tight game. And I think, I don't think it'll be a high scoring fest, but we'll see. I think for us, we'll prepare the team for Dayton. We always, always focus on ourselves and focus on being the best version of ourselves. And you're going to have to come deal with us. And as long as we put our best foot forward, we'll walk away, proud of the performance.
As you evolved as a coach and with your coaching staff, I always find it very interesting when coaches look more inward in terms of what they want to do or look more at the other team in the scouting report and try to attack something specific to other teams each matchup. How did you come to the place where you're at right now where it's almost always going to be doing what you do best?
Well, I think part of that is that, that's the recipe we found success in, is doing what we do best, trusting our talent, trusting our players, trusting our identity. And, I saw a quote today from Critchley at City that talks about, culture eats tactics for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And so we've always been, we've always been culture driven. We've always been mentality driven. And I think anytime we've veered from that over my, 13 years, we've been a little disappointed. Just kind of try to stay true. And of course there are little adaptations or little changes and adjustments that'll happen through the games. But, we want to be us through and through, and our players, they just feel confident in themselves too, when they know what's expected of them and who we are.
I know you guys take a lot of pride in the home field advantage that is Herman Stadium and the fans that come out every single time. You're talking to a lot of people right now, though, on the radio that have probably never come out to see you guys play. As we wrap things up, just kind of share what fans can expect and why they should come out, especially for a huge game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I think Herman Stadium is the best college soccer venue in the country. It'll be a beautiful night, it looks like, weather-wise. Our women are They're champions. They play like champions. They play on the edge of their seat. It'll be a pretty high-paced, high-intensity attacking game. And I think they're just incredible. You know, they play with incredible passion and joy. And, you know, I think Herman Stadium, when full, is there's no place like it. And so I take a lot of pride in representing St. Louis. We've got a lot of our women from St. Louis. And so we love when the city comes out to support us.
It's going to be SLU and Dayton tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Herman Stadium. Two teams that are 6-0 in league play, first place on the line. Coach, always appreciate you taking some time with us. Best of luck tomorrow night. And hopefully we're talking again very, very soon as postseason play is not that far off.
Thanks so much.
That is Coach Katie Shields. We will take a break. We've got a lot more coming up as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
For one final time, back at it with you on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, starting to wrap things up. It's been a fun show tonight for sure. Appreciate Katie Shields, the head coach over at St. Louis University Women's Soccer, for joining us just a few moments ago. Again, they've got a big-time matchup tomorrow evening, Herman Stadium, when they are going to match up against Dayton. A couple things before we do get out of here for the night. When we get done, we'll get the 8 o'clock news, and then we've got a Gas House Gang replay coming up. If you didn't catch it earlier today, it is Tom Ackerman and Chris Ranji, somebody who we had on this show not that long ago, but good friend Jerry Augustine. He's going to be on to talk baseball playoffs, so he's going to be on in just a little while. One of my favorite people to be able to listen to, so that's going to be coming up in just a while. Tomorrow night, Nate Gatter is going to be in for me. I've got the night off tomorrow. Kind of cool. I am a proud graduate of Ladue High School. And recently, the school district decided that they were going to start a Ladue Sports or Ladue Athletics Hall of Fame. And they have the gala coming up tomorrow night. And evidently, nobody else was available, so they asked me to MC it tomorrow night. So that's where I'm going to be at. And I'm really looking forward to that. That's a cool thing to have gone to that school and then be asked to MC a gala with just an incredible group of athletes and teams that are being honored. It's going to be awesome. So looking forward to that. And then so Nate will be with you tomorrow night, and then I'll be with you coming up again on Friday. I just want to reiterate this one more time before we get out of here. And I don't like talking negatively about people I respect and people who did a good job and people that were important parts of things that I care deeply about. And I care deeply about the St. Louis Cardinals, and I so much appreciate what Mike Schilt did for the Cardinals when he was managing the team. And it obviously got to a point where his personality and some choices that he made resulted in him not being the manager anymore. And then seemingly those exact same things played out in San Diego, and he's not the Padres manager anymore. And because of the story that came out over the last day or so, we've been forced to talk a lot about it. So much of our conversation in this show in the last day or so has been focused in on some of the negative personality characteristics of a Mike Schilt. And that's where I don't like talking about the negative stuff on people that I... Mike Schilt's a really good manager. Like, I feel like sometimes for people who don't like Oliver Marmol and they do like Mike Schilt, it's like you're either Team Ollie or Team Schilt. And it's never been that way for me. I think Mike Schilt's a heck of a manager. And I don't... He says he's never going to do it again. I don't know if he's ever going to have the opportunity to do it again. I think if he ever gets interviewed for a job again, he's going to have some very direct questions to answer when it comes to how he deals with other people in the organization, because now it's two organizations where it just hasn't gone quite well for him. But we all have not so great aspects of our personalities. I always talk about you don't want to be judged in your worst moment. I think you also don't want to be judged on the worst part of your personality. Now, there's certain lines that if you cross and if you do something in a certain way, you have to be judged on it. And essentially, that's what's happened with Schilt, because he's been a major league manager with two different teams, and he's not with either team, and it has little to nothing to do with
the performance that he got from his team. Certainly not in St. Louis. And now he was going to be back in San Diego. They were going to try to work with him on some things, but he was going to be back in San Diego. Did they underachieve in the playoffs each of the last 2 years? I think so. I think it's fair to say they were a team that had World Series aspirations, and it simply did not happen. But that's, I just wanted to finish off with this. Like, Mike Schilt is a really, really important person to the history of the St. Louis Cardinals, both as the major league manager and all the work that he did in the minor leagues as well, and had such a positive impact on so many players. Is it disappointing to see the way some things went down with him? Yes, it is. And that has unfortunately become the story over the last 24 to 48 hours. I hope as we continue to move forward, assuming that his career really has come to an end as a major league manager, and he will be back in baseball in some form or fashion, I hope we can, both us and here in St. Louis and even the folks in San Diego, can look at more of the positives than the negatives, because he certainly has earned that and deserves it. That is it for the program tonight. Again, Nate Gatter in tomorrow. I will talk to you again coming up on Friday. This has been a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.